And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, alongside our wonderful, talented Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, on this Hump Day Wednesday. And welcome. What a glorious day outside. That's sarcasm. We need the precip. And boy, we just missed it here in the FM area. Areas of Otter Tail County, Bridget, picked up over a half inch to three quarters of an inch, just an hour east of here. That's how close we missed it.
Not that they did not need some rainfall as well, because if you look in that area, you know, they've got some really nice rolling hills and a low organic matter amount in a lot of them. So they were looking to recharge some soil moisture as well.
Yeah. And from the valley westward, there really wasn't much at all. So there is a little bit of rain in the forecast as we head into the weekend, but that's mainly in the far northern valley, and that doesn't look like a big deal. But next week could be a different story. We're keeping an eye on a potential system Tuesday and Wednesday and into next week, and we'll kind of touch more on that at the end, right before the end of the show. But we've got some guests we've got to get to first.
We have a great day going on. So many of you know, of course, that we were custom farming 20 acres of corn this year, soybeans last year, and we're done. We harvested. It's in the bin. It's waiting for us to sell. But we wanted to make sure that our beneficiary received their payment. And so that's Farm Rescue. We're joined by Tim and Dan in office today. Gentlemen, it's great to see you.
It's great to see you guys. Yeah. Again, thank you enough.
Nice to be here.
So we were able to present a check today for $1,000 for the work that Farm Rescue does, nearing 1,200 families in 9 states. Can our amount help too? I always feel like, you know, we should be able to, everybody should give lots more, right? But how are we doing? Where can this go?
Again, we, as a nonprofit, every dollar makes a difference, and $1,000 goes a long way for us. And we did an impact study recently that, you know, every dollar invested in Farm Rescue grows to 10 in the community and for that family. So that impact, can grow even further. So we appreciate each and every donation dollar, and the Here We Grow program has been so great and fun to watch too.
So that's outstanding that impact study shows that you're coming back tenfold in the community. And Tim, I'm going to ask to you, when you have started with this program, did you guys expect to grow to the demand that you are? You're probably tenfold where you ever thought you'd be.
Yeah, when you ask Bill Gross, our founder, he's just total in awe of what has happened. He never dreamed that it would be like this. And it's an amazing program, Farm Rescue is. You know, started in North Dakota in 2025. It'll be 20 years. So that's huge for us, helping that many families. When you look at the North Dakota map alone, we're approaching 700 families just in North Dakota that have been benefactors of what we do. And Northwest Minnesota has compounded as well. So it's great to see that we're being utilized and we're becoming maybe a household name for the local area.
And guys, for anybody that's not familiar with Farm Rescue, who do you give the help to? Obviously, you give help for farmers, yeah. But is there a criteria, and what do you do for them?
Yeah, and again, it's all about helping farm families. That's mm-hmm. what it's always been about. That's what Farm Rescue was founded upon, is extending a helping hand to farm families in a time of crisis. So it's an injury, it's an illness, natural disaster, kind of the three main qualifiers.
Okay.
We bring in the volunteers, the equipment to plant, make hay, help with harvest. We can feed livestock. We do some commodity hauling and hay hauling during times of drought or wildfires in western North Dakota.
Which you were just talking with us about that, yes. With all the wildfires they had out west. How much does it take to push out a load of hay out to the west? You were saying $750.
Yeah, again, that $1,000, it can, you know, it counts for more than a load delivered. Sure. to one of these families that lost some of that vital feed in wildfires. And it's, you know, we're looking at the needs out west too, and if it's not hay, it's fencing supplies.
Yes.
So that's another big component to our Operation Haylift campaign that's ongoing right now. Lots of fencing lost wildfires and trying to replace some of that.
I've actually heard the stat. It's miles and miles and miles and miles.
You wouldn't think of that either.
Yeah. But I mean, most people, but this is not the first time you've had Operation Hayloft. You have had to do this in some other areas as well, correct, Tim?
Oh, yes. So Farm Rescue, you know, over the years has had several Operation Haylifts. You know, a few of them in North Dakota, but South Dakota, Western South Dakota, wildfires as well. You know, it was 2022 when I believe we helped out by Rapid City. There was, you know, nothing like what we're seeing now at the western side of our state. But, you know, Nebraska also, when there was flooding with the Spencer Dam breaking back in 2019, just devastating. And, you know, people just don't realize when everything is taken by a fire or a flood, how devastating it can be. But infrastructure is also gone. Roads are gone in a flood-type situation. So, you know, we have done this many times. We are a well-oiled machine when it comes to figuring this out and the logistics of getting hay from one point to another. But what I want to focus is the donors. All the hay is donated for Operation Haylift. And it's a pay-it-forward type of thing. I take a lot of phone calls. You know, people want to donate a load of hay, two loads of hay or more. And this is just a great way to give back. They said, hey, way back when I was helped and got a load, help me get through the winter with my cattle, you know, they don't forget about it. And even state to state, it's paid back, you know, when that happens. So we live in a wonderful area where people are just have each other's back.
Boy, when you said household name, that is so true. I was on the phone having a conversation with a farmer in Iowa one day, and I mentioned Farm Rescue shortly after the wildfires, talking about Operation Haylift. And the response was, oh, they're up there too. So they know your name. They just don't know that you are from here.
Right.
Which I find is pretty awesome, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah. And Dan, Tim, if any of our listeners are listening saying, you know what, man, I'd like to do something.
Yeah.
How do they get a hold of you guys if they want to donate either money or hay or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I would say our website is kind of a one-stop shop. Again, if you're looking to, first and foremost, if you're a family in need of assistance, you can apply for that assistance right through our website. It's farmrescue.org. As a nonprofit, everything we do is made possible by the generosity of others. So if you feel called to support us financially, you can do that. Make it pretty easy through our website and lots of buttons in different areas you can click to donate. Looking for new volunteers, you can sign up to do that. New partners, you can sign on to support us with your business. And again, there's just a lot of different ways you can help Farm Rescue. You don't have to be a farmer yourself.
Right.
You don't have to volunteer in the field. That, again, every dollar makes a difference, and we stretch it to its limit. So, again, farmrescue.org. But if you want to speak to someone in person, you can call our main office. It's 701-252-2017.
You wouldn't be disappointed if someone with a CDL called and said they'd like to volunteer their time?
Oh, they get attention right away.
Very important to us, yeah.
I bet they do. And that's not just for delivering supplies and hay. That's moving your equipment from site to site. I mean, we were talking downstairs. During harvest this year, you had 7 or 8 different harvest crews in different places.
Yeah.
That's a lot of logistics, you guys.
And it's grain trucks in the fall. Those harvest crews are driven by CDL volunteers. We're moving headers pulled behind pickups. You need it for that, too. So, again, we love all of our volunteers, but the CDL volunteers are, you know, very helpful in a lot of cases for us.
It is the holiday season. Folks are reviewing their finances for the year. And I think what's most important is we don't forget that Farm Rescue can certainly be one of those that you recognize at the end of the year and make sure your donation dollars are well spent. They will be at this organization.
Yep, absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming in today. Thank you for being a part of our project this year with our corn. We made videos together. We talked on the phone a lot. I remember when the wildfires were going on, I got a call from someone locally who wanted to donate hay. And all I did was call you guys and say, you should fix this. I don't know how.
And we appreciate that referral too. And thank you to, again, you and Dean and everyone involved in this, the Skolnes family. I think you're going to have them on here in a little bit.
We are.
The sponsors involved in this. It's just been incredible, and we sure appreciate that support.
And look forward to hopefully working with you guys next year as well.
Would be great.
We would love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, someone asked us, we've been asked if we can raise wheat, sugar beets, potatoes, and a cow. I don't think we can do them all, but
we haven't done wheat yet.
We have not done wheat
yet. And sugar beets might be fun too.
Our boss would like us to look for something profitable. Ask all the farmers out there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No doubt. So,
all right, folks, stick around. We're going to visit with our farming cooperators next.
Where's my rain, Dean?
I heard that one.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. It's 1:22 in the afternoon, and you know it's a special day for us here, Bridget. And you know we got to give our check to Farm Rescue, and now we've got the wonderful farm team that we've been working with all along.
So, the fun part of doing this project is you and I don't necessarily plant a crop. We get to consult on it. We get to talk about it. But the folks that are doing the hard work, especially this year, were out by Glendon. And that would be Skolnes Farms. And we've got Trigvi Skolnes with us, as well as Parker and Justin. So, guys, just first of all, thank you for doing this project this year. Any thoughts how you think it maybe went or why you had an interest in doing it?
Oh, it's a great opportunity to have some fun with you, for one thing. But well, we like to raise corn, and that's fun for us, so we were able to put it all together. We had a great season, and we came off with a great yield.
So speaking of yield, we have three people that got close without going over the yield contest. So Trigvi sent me a message right off the monitor in the cab. We hit 194.2 bushels of corn, and we had three people who were in it. We hit 194. We had three people at 192 as their guess.
Pretty close.
194.2 bushels. Is that about right for that piece of ground? Is that about a good average, or are we over our average on it?
Average out there in our part of the country is 185, 186. So, yeah, we're above average in spite of the season starting out too dry, then too wet, and then too dry. Thanks, Dean.
Yeah, there it is.
Where's my rain, Dean?
No way. So for those of you who listen regularly and you hear the where's my rain, Dean, the real live sounders in the studio today, that'd be Parker.
Yep.
So who planted the crop?
I did.
Parker? Yep. All right. So what was your expectation when we started this project? Did you have an idea what this was all going to look like when we got to the end and how many things we were going to ask you to do?
I didn't think I'd have to do that much, and I got weaseled into sitting here right now, so you offered me a free lunch, and you snagged me before I could leave.
Yeah, you got to wine and dine you.
Don't worry. I know your wife is enjoying this tremendously right now.
I bet.
And, Justin, you were a part of picking our corn variety.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty normal day for you, isn't it, helping your farmers in that respect?
Oh, yeah. There's lots to look at, lots of different varieties and genetics for different types of ground. If it's going on corn and corn ground, you got to have different set of traits on there. That way it can deal with some of the bugs out there. So, yeah, there's lots to talk about. That I think we trained them pretty good, too, before we sent them to the field. I had those bags of corn working out and everything before we sent them out.
That was my favorite video, the day we had the bags sitting in chairs. We were yelling at them like we were coaching them. It worked, though. We beat the farm average.
Yeah, went above average.
Definitely did.
I thought that was excellent.
Yep.
You have to come out and do that again.
That's right.
Just to make sure.
Do you want me to, every year I just walk through the seed bit? Yeah,
you might be able to charge a premium for that, to go to farm to farm.
Yeah, good little pep talk. I like it.
She adds corn coach to her resume. So, Trigby, when we were downstairs having lunch, I asked you, is this the earliest you've ever had everything done on the farm as far as harvest?
It sure is on the early side. The corn harvest couldn't have gone too much smoother for us in our part of the country. Now, I realize that other farmers left their crops standing out a little bit to dry a little longer. They were planted a little later. But when we started planting, we got everything in before these the heavier 3-week period of rain started. Thanks, Dean.
Not going to let
it
go.
Oh, dude, you were going to get it today.
We got more sounders now.
Way more sounders. Okay, so Parker was planting our corn. And as Trigvi just said, y'all jumped the gun on getting in early. We had a lot of people that waited because history tells us not to get in too soon. The ground was still cold. Were you nervous? Were you thinking about replant at the time?
I was nervous about the cold, more with the sugar beets, though, than anything. It turned out for the beets. The stuff that we put in early did substantially better.
Now, guys, let's take a quick peek into next year. So using the LRC, which we do, and it accurately worked last year and the year before, we're 5 weeks into it, and we haven't had – I mean, October was bone dry. So far this month, we're 2 weeks in, and we're right about average in terms of precip. If we miss out on, let's say, two or three of these next storms over the next 3 weeks and we remain dry, which means – we're going to have a dry LRC cycle each cycle that goes through into the spring and winter, spring, and even into the summer. So when the cycle ends and we know what the rest of the winter and spring and summer hold, what if it ends up being that, all right, we're going to go back into drought conditions as we head into summer? How does that affect you guys? I mean, are you going to plan differently on what you're going to plant, or how does that work with you guys?
We'd definitely be changing varieties.
Okay.
You know, as far as corn goes, not a whole lot you can do with the sugar beets.
So yeah, I'm looking at Justin as the guy who's out there selling as well to other people.
Yeah.
What are you going to factor in when you're talking to your customers right now?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are going to be asking too, and wanting to know what kind of moisture we're looking at. Some varieties are going to do better with wet feet. Some don't like wet feet. They don't like standing water there. Some are bred to be in drought areas that can handle the drought conditions better than others. So guys are going to be looking at that pretty strong, as well as planting date and what our temperature outlook is going to be as well. We need those heat units, and that's going to judge greatly on what kind of maturity we're going to be planting.
And how soon do most of our ag community, how soon do they start purchasing?
Right now. We are already in a couple of meetings here this morning, selling seed this morning. We've got some pretty good discounts out there that are going right now. Get guys start thinking and planning ahead of time.
But don't they know the LRC cycle isn't set yet? We can't firmly give an answer for next spring yet?
It's nice. You can lock in. You know, these companies they're pretty forgiving. They can let you, they'll let you change varieties if something comes up, or if we get delayed spring planting. You know, we can start whittling that down to an earlier maturity date so that everything makes it.
Okay. So as a couple of height challenged folks in the room here, that's Dean and I mean, we see eye to eye on a lot, but I'm curious. Short stature corn has become a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Are you guys looking at that? Do you have any concerns if short stature corn, or do you look at it as a really big positive?
They've been looking at that for years and years. It just hasn't, they haven't had a good hold on it yet. They do have issues, you know, in our neck of the country. If corn stands during the winter, you can run into snow piling up to where those ears are and actually dragging the ears down, making it tougher to combine. So as long as they can keep that ear height at a respectable level while bringing the plant height down, might be all right, but there's still a lot to see on that.
Well, Parker's the combine operator.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do you think on that one?
I would prefer to combine taller corn.
Fair enough. So, and if you're curious what that corn looked like when we were combining, especially because you had those fancy spinners on your header to knock the corn corn stalk into the header, you have to make sure to go and check out our Here We Grow videos. The last one posted, that's the last one of where Justin and I made sure we got it all in the bin at Avril. I've heard many times you guys are just naturals for video, we'll keep you on our list when we need
naturally
farmers.
Nervous.
We'll be here.
Oh, Trigby says yes. Everybody else is, I don't know.
Bring it on.
You'll be here as long as we keep feeding lunch, too.
Yeah. Can we get an office in the building then, too?
You know what? I don't use the desk here very often. I'll just loan you mine. It'd be fine. You can office with Dean. So thank you again to Skolnes Farms, AB Seed, for all that you guys did to help us out this year. We really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. We really enjoyed
it. Yep. It was fun. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. And we've got bottom of the hour break. Who do we have next?
Us.
All right, it's just Bridget and I. So we'll hit on the weather forecast, what it looks like. What's our likelihood of a potential big storm next week? We'll have more details on that coming up after the break.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Whew, that was quite the busy afternoon so far.
A lot of guests in here today.
You know, I know it sounds kind of crazy when one of us is gone, it feels weird. And I always make sure I get another co-host because I feel like there's so many things to talk about. But if I just talk by myself, it's like me in a wall.
Wait, you're going to be gone Friday. I'm here solo.
Yeah, or not. You're going to have somebody. You'll be
fine. We will. Make sure you tune in Friday. We will have One of the meteorologists in charge from the National Weather Service up in Grand Forks, they are using a new experimental weather forecasting model for winter, for winter weather. This is the first year they're using it. And we invited the meteorologist who's in charge of that on air with us for Friday. He's going to explain how this model works. You know, I've had a few people talk to me saying, well, how accurate is it? Well, we don't know because this is the first year. It's an experimental model. So they're going to tell us what they're seeing for this upcoming winter. And then we'll kind of compare that to what the LRC is going to show on the 27th and kind of see what the difference is. I'll give you a hint. From what I read, they're expecting, and I could be wrong, and Tim will explain this on Friday, but a pretty average winter around here, which I'd like to talk to him and see how, because right now we're not seeing signs of it. But again, there's still a few weeks left in the LRC, and if we can get a couple of decent storms coming in here, that could change things up quite a bit.
Remember my argument about average.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Okay, so some follow-up things to our Here We Grow project, because we had just a tremendous project with folks this year. We beat the farm average. We came in at 194 bushels. We literally have three winners for our rain gauges, two rain gauges and one grain gauge, and I'll be notifying those folks after the show today so that they can come on in and pick up their prizes.
Two rain gauges?
Yeah, I had two.
Oh, you had the two people that
I had
were,
two
right.
non-farmers
that's right.
who hit the same number. Mm-hmm. They guessed 192 bushels. And then we had an active farmer who had he also called out 192 bushels. And he farms up in northern Minnesota.
Cool.
So these were the grain gauges. You can see them on our live stream today. I have it right on the counter. And the grain gauge is from IntelliFarms out in Castleton. They were kind enough to just call us up out of the blue and say, we'll give one of those away with your project. We love that.
Nice.
Thank you for bringing us the grain gauge. And then additionally, you'll see our rain gauge there as well. So a lot of fun things going on. Also, Great Harvest Bread Company, Cassie. I called her yesterday and said, could I get some cookies to take to the studios on Wednesday? Because we had people coming in for lunch. And she did a fantastic job.
Everybody downstairs said, those cookies are about the size of my head. And they were delicious, too.
Fantastic. Oh. Variety platter that she put together for us, and she'll be in once a month with us here through the end of the year, so we get to keep sampling. But if you have meetings, like our farmers who just left said they had seed meetings this morning, mm-hmm. What a great place to go and get some goodies to share with a cup of coffee while right. You're visiting with a customer. Mm-hmm. That'd be an awesome spot. One other thing that I've got going on, you know, we always have our Cooper, our mascot that came from one of our listeners. But then I have to say this very slowly and carefully, I'm holding up my flat farmer Fanny from Florida. Okay. So you've heard of, what's the kids project when they do the flat person, right? Flat Stanleys, I think they were called.
Okay.
So now I have my flat farmer. And she's going to spend the next 2 weeks with me. So every time we go somewhere, I'm supposed to take pictures and then report back to the Harrison FFA chapter in Florida as to what happens in ag in North Dakota. She's already gone to Marion, North Dakota with me. We saw giant corn piles. Yesterday we had an office day. It's a little easier. She could sit a little bit. If it gets colder, I'm going to have to make her a paper doll coat.
Are you feeding her okay? She looks a little anorexic.
She could really use a pork chop. She's a little thin. And she's short.
Well, she fits in well with us then.
She's the same size as Cooper here on the desk. So, you know, if listeners are wondering, what are some things that I'm doing with her? You can send us messages, ag@flagfamily.com. And also, I would love it if folks say, hey, make sure to tell those kids in Florida this about North Dakota agriculture, weather, and so much more. And so I will be happy to share all of those little tips and ideas that all of you have been sending in. Thank you for doing that. Speaking of weather, did you talk about the weather special coming up? I mean, we got a guest on Friday,
so
but there's more.
We've got our guest on Friday who will be talking about this new experimental weather model that they're using up at the National Weather Service in Grand Forks. He'll give us his idea of what he thinks is going to happen this winter. I called him Tim. It's Tom earlier. Tom will be explaining what they're thinking, what our winter looks like. And then our winter weather outlook using the LRC special, that will be November 27th. That's Wednesday from 2 o'clock till 5 on the Jay Thomas Show. I'll be on there along with Gary Lezak, and we'll be breaking down what we think the upcoming winter looks like. I'm sure we'll be having plenty of phone calls. We'll kind of talk about what it looks like, not only for North Dakota and Minnesota, but for much of the northern and central plains as well. As we've got a lot of listeners that listen on our app and wanting to know what it looks like. And Gary will be talking about where the main storm track has been so far in this LRC cycle, and talking about where the drier conditions have been. Will that continue through the upcoming spring and winter and spring? Or will we see a break in it? So it should be pretty interesting. It's totally unlike last year, believe it or not. I mean, as dry as it's been, it's still a lot different than last year. And it's still unfolding. We still just don't have that concrete answer. Like down to our south, I think in the central plains, it's a little more clear cut because they've been in the main storm track, and you know, each cycle that track will be, it'll shift a little bit, mm-hmm. but it'll generally remain in the same area. So I'll use this as an example. So today, that storm system missed us just to the east, where areas of Otter Tail County picked up over a half inch to some spots 3/4 of an inch of rain. Well, you translate that into us getting nothing, and then if that was snow, there'd be a very sharp cutoff in that snow right. line. Is there a chance that track could shift a little further west or east from when it comes in the next cycle? It sure could. So we have to keep an eye on some of these storms that have been very close to us. Mm-hmm. We had one early in the season that missed us. It hit areas out around Bismarck. We've had some that just scoot off to our south and east. We've been right on that line of literally something, you know, appreciable and something non-existent. So it's going to be a tricky winter. Yeah. I mean, because we're going to be right on that fence line on a couple of these storms. That's why we need a couple of bullseyes that just smack us on right on the, just like Tyson is going to smack Paul on Friday night.
Okay, you say a bullseye, and all I can think about is, oh God, where am I going to be on the road?
Exactly. We need to take one on the chin for Mother Nature on one of these storms to really kind of put us at ease a little bit. That all right, at least we know that one storm is going to come through, yeah. or those two storms for sure are going to come through each cycle.
Yeah,
and we just don't have that set in stone yet.
Well, speaking of things that are coming up, or, you know, we're looking at a cycle, so to speak, we cycle through some good guests. And you mentioned Fridays. I'm very excited about tomorrow's guest. Okay, we have an author calling in. He writes equipment books, and he follows things like the history of John Deere, Farmall, Case IH. And his name is Lee Clancher, and his book is called Snoopy and the Spy. And it's about espionage in the tractor business, like during the Cold War.
Get out! What?
So I just finished reading his book about 10 days ago. I had met him at Farm Progress in Iowa back in August. And I am really looking forward to the stories that he tells. And I hope that we have lots of people calling our Red Wing Shoe line to ask questions.
I can see espionage now with the technology we have. How did they have espionage back in the Cold War?
But that was their technology. Right. They were, when you say technology, you're thinking about the spy technology.
Right.
They were spying on the technology and tractors. This was the advent of front wheel drives. This was all sorts of things that were happening with four wheel drives. The change of from being a big tillage company to being a tractor company was
right.
huge.
All right. And we've got a caller, Tom, on line one. Tom, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. What's your question today?
Hey, Dean Bridget. We get all uptight about the weather. I mean, where's it going to be? Whatever. Go back to the 70s, where we have a chalkboard or we have a dry erase. Didn't even have a dry erase board. This is where the storm will be within 200 or 300 miles. when you guys can get it down as close as Otter Tail County. And say it might back up a little bit. That is extremely detailed weather forecast, and that is excellent. We should not complain about a few miles.
And, Tom, that was also when we had variations in our weather and a lot more snowfall and a lot drier summers, because that beat the average of 30 years.
Good point. Yep. Right.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, thanks, Tom, and be sure to tune in on Friday. I'm looking forward to it when we have our guest from the National Weather Service on to explain what this new experimental model. Somebody's like, aren't you worried that you know it might rival the LRC? No, not at all.
They should complement each other,
absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely, and you know the better, the more accurate forecast we can give to the general public, whether it be from the LRC, a new model that's coming out, and again, we don't know how it's going to pan out, but if it pans out being pretty accurate, that's great. Then we can use those two together, and
now,
yeah, it's a hit. That's
like good. Some of our listeners, I will have to listen to the replay on either YouTube, Facebook, or Acres TV, because while you're on air, I will be moderating a panel for NDSU's Department of Ag Economics. They have three big brains, as one of our other morning hosts would call them, talking about global economics and farming right now. So right. I'm looking forward to making some notes to bring into the studio next week to share some of their insights.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our last break. We'll take a quick couple-minute break here. When we come back, we've got a couple more ag topics to hit.
And one last thing real quick.
Yep.
In case folks had not seen this yet, Senate Republicans have elected John Thune from South Dakota as the next majority leader. So South Dakota is getting a lot of love in the political realm right now. Again, coming from a farm state, those are good things.
Good.
We'll see where that leads. But yes, Thune now is going to be next majority leader.
All right. Good deal. And we'll also take a peek into next week and what that storm might look like next week. All that and more coming up right after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Arr, matey. There's a party. Here's Bridget in her blender. Glad she could make it.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:51 in the afternoon on this Wednesday, November 13th. And let's take a quick look at the weather. The next few days are kind of boring. There's not much going on, which is okay by some.
Well, kind of.
And temperatures remain above normal in the 40s, not only for today and tomorrow, but we'll warm up Friday's pick day of the week. Just a gorgeous day, low 50s. The weekend will start out mild in the 50s on Saturday, cooling off and breezy on Sunday. Back into the 40s. But and you're going to be hearing a lot of this on the local news, I'm sure, on your weather apps. Potential for a big storm system coming in here. And a key word, potential. Don't freak out and don't change your plans just yet. And here's a good example of why. So next Tuesday and Wednesday, kind of bookmark that if you have any travel plans in the northern plains. We've got a potential of a major snow system coming our way, a major precip system, we'll just put it at that, coming our way for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Now, just to show you, now, if you want to check out our Facebook post, I posted two different models side by side from this morning. This is just from this morning. And both were very much kind of in agreement of a lot of wind and a pretty decent amount of snow. Now, this afternoon's model runs just came in, and I haven't had a chance to post this yet, but the European model is still the same as this morning's. It's pretty much a carbon copy, while our American model flip-flopped back again, which that doesn't surprise me. The American model does that all the time. So the American model had no snow over us, where the morning run it had about 4 to 5 inches. Now, the European model has been consistent with about 5 to 8 inches of snow right in that general area along that 94 corridor into northern Minnesota as well, with the potential of 40 to 45 mile an hour winds with that as well. So next Tuesday and Wednesday, again, and it's one of those things where the main storm track so far this season has been just to our south. So if this misses us just to our east and just to our south, it wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, it wouldn't. But again, we're getting at least better indications that this has a slightly better chance of moving a little further into our area opposed to far east of us.
Well, I would definitely say the timing is right. We have the potential for a storm, but the timing is also right because of where we're at in the calendar. Go get those winter survival kits. Put the shovel in the back. Grab a pair of boots. For the love of God, get some gloves in your vehicle. It's time to start preparing.
Yeah. But one thing that does look like a pretty good certainty is after that storm exits the area, and it could stick around for a few days around here with a lot of wind. So, I mean, if we get any snow on the ground at all and that wind continues for a couple of days, it's going to be tricky travel.
Yeah.
If we miss it, it's going to hit Minnesota. So it's either going to hit the Dakotas or Minnesota or all three. We'll have to see how the track of that unfolds. But after that storm departs, it looks like we get into a much colder regime, more typical for the middle and latter part of November.
Well, and I heard someone at our sponsor's lunch today say, Could it be winter? You know, and I mean that in a good way. If you're in the farming community, you're kind of wanting to button things up. You know, it's time. If you have been doing fall fertilizer, you're definitely getting ahead. This has been a great fall for application season. You're probably getting some tillage out of the way if you need to. But because everybody's busy doing those things, it's a little hard to go around and maybe sell seed.
Right.
Because people are still very busy working. Mm-hmm. There's still soil sampling going on. And so there's things that you do because it froze up, and there are things that you do because it didn't. And it's time for the froze up part of those things to start in some minds.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, yeah. No
agriculturally.
Doubt. Yep. And, you know, harvest is done. Let's get some moisture in here now.
Well, and just as Justin said, one of our farmers here earlier, seed selling for 2025 has already been going on. It's right there. We're not going to wait until, gosh, I should plant tomorrow. What do you think I should plant? Mm-hmm. No, we're ahead of the game on that.
And like you said, you know, it's you can change it up.
Sure.
Because if we know that we're going to have drought conditions now going into spring, let's say this next system totally misses us. That's not good because that's two or three key storms that have missed us just to our south and east.
Yeah, so things are coming along pretty well, I would have to say. And you know, if you are looking ahead to what things that are coming up in the ag world or what affects us, we have a lot of listeners out in the Tioga neighborhood, and there is a benefit for the wildfires for the folks who have lost homes. There were a couple of gentlemen who lost their lives. Mm. And so really, you know, we want to make sure that they are well supported. And that is taking place this Saturday, the 16th in Tioga from 11 to 4. If you wanted, there's a live auction, a silent auction. If you are interested in that event, you can always drop me a message, ag@flagfamily.com, and I'll send you the link how you can participate to help.
And where's that at in Tioga?
It'll be in Tioga at the community center this Saturday.
Okay.
So, you know, just best wishes to them for lots of fundraising efforts. There's been a lot of things that happened out in that region this year.
And they continue to have major drought conditions out there as well.
You told me on the break that's not a positive.
It's no.
Might add.
And, you know, with these storms, the main storm track being just to our east, that does not benefit the Western Dakotas at all. So
no, not at this point.
Hopefully that'll change a little bit here over the next few weeks.
So as a positive, North Dakota State University is part of a list that comes out annually on top research scientists. And it's not only based on research that was done for a 1 year, but also across a career. And we have well over 30 different scientists at NDSU that were being recognized as top of their field globally.
Wow, that's great.
So that means a lot to students who are coming here to earn their education and also for research. Plus, it means a lot to our farmers in the region because that information is shared and used in a multi-state region. And I would be a horrible person to announce all of their names because I'm not familiar with some of them.
Right.
But their areas of study would include cereals and food science, plant sciences, animal sciences, as well as health and nutrition, pharmaceuticals. Then additionally, again, just a number of them, especially in animal science and plant sciences, where we really shine and have over many years.
That's a huge kudos to NDSU.
Very cute. We've got a lot of folks that are retiring from NDSU, particularly in extension as specialists, but they've been there for 25, 30 and plus years.
Right.
So it's just time for that new generation to come in, and they're going to be great. Let's just get it started.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, I wanted to talk about the excitement about all the blueberries. Let's talk about that tomorrow.
Oh, we'll talk about blueberries tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. So for Bridget, myself, and the whole crew that joined us this afternoon, I want to thank you for joining us on Weather and Ag. Don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.